Welcome to the Regulatory Transparency Project's fourth branch podcast series. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Hello and welcome to the Regulatory Transparency Project's fourth branch podcast. My name is Steve Schaefer and I'm the director of the Federal Society's Regulatory Transparency Project. And I'm glad you're here. Today we are discussing the failed JetBlue and Spirit Airlines merger with antitrust expert Alden Abbott. A note, all expressions of opinion are those of the experts. Alden Abbott is a senior research fellow focusing on antitrust issues. Before joining Mercatus, Mr. Abbott had served as the FTC general counsel from 2018 to early 2021, where he represented the commission in court and provided legal advice to its representatives. Prior to working at the FTC, Mr. Abbott worked at the Heritage Foundation and BlackBerry Limited. He also served as an adjunct professor at George Mason's Antonin Scalia Law School from 1991 to 2018. He has a JD from Harvard Law School and an MA in economics from Georgetown University, and is just an all-around great guy. So Alden, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Steve, for the kind words. And thank you to the Federalist Society and the Regulatory Transparency Project for hosting this podcast on what I think is an interesting issue. It's a case study about how I think merger analysis can go wrong if you're not careful. Specifically, the Justice Department's successful challenge about a year ago to JetBlue's proposed acquisition of Spirit Airlines provides an illustration of the Biden administration's antitrust agency's new and less favorable approach to considering merger efficiencies. And since we're changing administrations, it also may provide an example that the new incoming Trump antitrust leadership may want to examine. So it's also, I think the Justice Department's action may have tended to reduce instead of enhancing airline competition by further entrenching a four-firm oligopoly of U.S. airlines that wields substantial market power, American, Delta, Southwest, and United. If that is the case, airline travelers ultimately will be the losers. So before turning to the specifics of the case, let me describe federal antitrust merger law in a nutshell. A merger violates the antitrust laws, specifically Section 7 of the Clayton Act, if, quote, in any line of commerce, in any section of the country, the effect of such acquisition may be substantially less in competition or tend to create a monopoly, close quote. Now, federal judges have viewed this requirement as requiring that a relevant market or markets affected by a merger be defined and assessed. So you're asking, is there harm or not in a particular market? If competition is likely to be harmed in one or more relevant markets, the merger will be struck down. So after likely harm is found in a relevant market, the fact that competition might actually be enhanced in some other markets is irrelevant. The merger will still be rejected. Now, for over four decades, countervailing efficiencies have been considered in assessing whether an otherwise anti-competitive merger passes muster. The efficiencies must, however, outweigh the anti-competitive effects and must benefit consumers. And looking at efficiencies and consumers is consistent with what the Supreme Court said antitrust law is aimed at. It's a consumer welfare prescription, as the Supreme Court said in 1979. Now, for example, a merger that otherwise would reduce competition in a market would be allowed if it led to cost reductions or quality and service improvements that made consumers in all relevant markets better off. However, even if a merger raised consumer welfare in one or more markets, it would almost always be struck down if consumers were made worse off in at least one market. Now, why did I say almost always? The 2010 Joint Federal Trade Commission DOJ merger guidelines created a narrow exception. Specifically, the guidelines stated that the agencies could exercise their prosecutorial discretion to consider efficiencies not strictly in a relevant market, but, quote, so inextricably linked with it that a partial divestiture or other remedy could not feasibly eliminate the anti-competitive effect in the relevant market without sacrificing efficiencies in other markets. So the agencies were more likely to consider out-of-market efficiencies when they very greatly outweighed the expected in-market anti-competitive effect. Now, the agencies explicitly credited out-of-market efficiencies in declining to challenge transactions in several particular cases. And I'd like to highlight two Justice Department airline merger cases. In 2011, in Southwest Airlines Company, AirTrans Holding, Inc., although the parties overlapped on some nonstop routes, that is, specific markets, say, pair routes going from, say, Washington to Phoenix, the DOJ chose not to challenge a merger of these low-cost airlines because it would allow the parties to offer new services and lower fares on other routes, benefiting consumers nationwide. So this was an example. Okay, maybe a particular narrow route, there's some questions about harm, but we know that consumers, many more consumers will gain on other major routes. So similarly, the DOJ declined to challenge Delta Airlines' acquisition of Northwest Airlines in 2008. Although the merging parties were the only or two of three airlines providing services on multiple nonstop routes, DOJ credited significant overall efficiencies from combining the parties' sizable and complementary markets and networks. So in both cases, the DOJ declined to challenge a transaction because out-of-market efficiencies outweighed alleged in-market harm. But times have changed. FTC and DOJ released new joint merger guidelines in 2023, reflecting a far more aggressive approach to merger enforcement. This approach also is reflected in the treatment of efficiencies. By the way, when I said a more aggressive approach, it was much more focused just on how reduction of a number of major competitors, so-called higher market concentration, and less focus on the real economic effects of particular transactions. Now, the 2023 joint merger guidelines did away with the 2020 guidelines, more permissive language regarding out-of-market efficiencies. It stated stating unconditionally that, quote, the antitrust agencies will not credit benefits outside a relevant market that would not prevent a lessening of competition in the relevant market. So that's double negatives, but it says that basically, even if there are lots of gains, lots of benefits to consumers, huge benefits in other markets, if there's an often very narrow relevant market, or on that some consumers would not benefit, we're not going to consider the major benefits. At the same time, the 2023 guidelines prohibit consideration of out-of-market efficiencies. They mandate consideration of out-of-market harms. Specifically, they say that the FTC and the DOJ will not credit, one, entry by other firms into the relevant market, or two, efficiencies arising in a relevant market if either involves a decrease in competition in another market. That is, another market that would be not at all considered. It's not within the scope of the merger. So the agencies must consider out-of-market harms to determine whether the parties entering efficiency arguments in a relevant market are valid. In sharp contrast, the old 2010 guidelines allowed agencies to credit entry that involved shifting capacity, say shifting planes, for example, from another market to the relevant market in response to changed competitive conditions due to a merger. For example, the old guidelines credited entry by suppliers with, quote, readily available swing capacity currently used in adjacent markets that can easily and profitably be shifted to serve the relevant market, close quote. That is so-called rapid entrance. So I said, okay, there's not really going to be harm if entry is going to happen, if prices rise or quality goes down. As for efficiencies, the 2020 guidelines stated efficiencies should not, quote, arise from anti-competitive reductions in output or service, but they did not directly forbid consideration of efficiencies that may, in some respect, lessen competition in non-relevant markets. Now, the 2023 guidelines also demonstrate an increased focus on harm to competition outside the role of a market, I think was suggested. So what does this all mean? How did they discuss, for instance, repositioning of assets? Repositioning of assets is actually quite important often in mergers, because that just reflects really the how markets may adapt and change in light of a merger. So regarding entry, the guidelines now advise, quote, the agencies typically do not credit entry that depends on lessening competition in other markets, close quote. And also, repositioning would reduce competition in the markets from which products or services are moved. If that happens, it's not a cognizable rebuttal for a lessening of competition in the relevant market. So even if really competition would get better in the relevant market, we think there's a chance it would hurt competition somewhere else. We're not even going to take account of it. And so now the JetBlue Spirit merger decision really sort of reflects, I think, the new thinking. And we're going to examine it now. And discussing this case, I should note my comments are very much in line with an analysis published about 8-9 months ago in Law 360 by antitrust lawyers Lisa Ruman and Anthony Ferrara. So great minds think alike, but they had the same concerns about how efficiencies have analysis has been changed in airlines. So let's go to look at JetBlue and Spirit, the country's sixth and seventh largest airlines, respectively, which announced the plan to merge in July 2022. DOJ filed a complaint challenging the merger in March 2023. According to DOJ, the transaction would eliminate the largest and fastest growing low-cost carrier in the U.S., and the Justice Department alleged relevant markets were individual flight routes and identified numerous route-specific markets where JetBlue and Spirit compete to provide service. As I say, city to cities. So JetBlue and Spirit said there should be a national relevant market, arguing that the route-specific markets fail to account for system-wide competition. And the two companies argued the merger would enhance national competition and benefit consumers by positioning JetBlue as a more effective competitor to the large legacy airlines. For example, the merger would have allowed JetBlue to expand its network, adding flights to new locations and growing its presence in multiple cities, while also expanding other aspects of its business, such as its loyalty program, to increase its relevance for consumers. And simultaneously, the parties argued that even looking at the route-specific mergers, DOJ alleged, other airlines could readily move fleet and crew as ship capacity to enter the alleged relevant markets, defeating any competitive harm arising from the merger. Now, Justice Department rebutted the arguments. As to efficiencies, it said, it declined to negotiate a settlement that would address the problematic overlaps between the airlines via divestitures, which airlines had offered up, while preserving the transaction's claimed benefits. And this was a departure from the Justice Department's practice in past airline merger cases. And I should say, in general, this was also the case in a recent supermarket case. In the past, the agencies, if you can show the agency that, okay, we're going to reduce the number of competitors in a particular market. If you have any concerns, we're going to sell our capacity to somebody else. We're not going to reduce the number of competitors. We'll take actions to make sure also the new competitor works out. Currently, the agencies don't like that. Except in rare instances, they say, we don't want divestitures. We want to say yay or nay about a merger. And that sort of ignores the real benefits a merger might bring about. But they generally don't want to take that into account. So the parties in this case had offered major divestitures at four major airports to address DOJ's concerns about head-to-head competition in route-specific markets. Now, DOJ argued that the parties could not point to efficiencies arriving in arising outside of the alleged route specific markets that would justify the deal. And even if JetBlue would have been able to enter new routes and accelerate its network growth nationally, DOJ contended efficiency would not create concrete benefits for consumers in the specific alleged route markets. But it didn't really say why it wouldn't. And again, this is important because we're talking about an oligopoly where it's the same major airlines. And this was really, and up to now, the budget airlines had shown some success, you know, in really being able to lower costs. But Justice, again, didn't want to look at it. As for entry, DOJ argued courts should not credit other airlines' entry into the alleged route-specific markets if that would involve shifting capacity from other routes. That is, exiting or reducing flight frequency on less profitable routes. Such shifts would risk harm to competition consumers in other markets. And again, this reflects the concern of the new merger guidelines about competition in other markets. But the DOJ did not identify those other markets as relevant markets, nor did DOJ allege the transaction would cause a substantial lessening of competition in those other markets. So I think it could be fairly said there was speculative harm, and there's a general emphasis on really wanting a very concrete likelihood of harm. But in January 2024, U.S. District Court of Massachusetts issued an injunction blocking a transaction, and JetBlue and Spirit subsequently abandoned the transaction. So the court credited JetBlue and Spirit's efficiencies evidence, finding the merger would likely expand JetBlue's network fleet and loyalty program and enhance competitive pressure on the big four airlines. But the court agreed with DOJ that relevant markets were route-specific and ultimately concluded the party's efficiencies evidence, quote, failed to establish a proposed merger would not substantially lessen competition in at least some of the relevant markets. So the court seems to have concluded that while JetBlue and Spirit proved cognizable efficiencies, most of those efficiencies benefited a national market instead of specific routes that constituted the relevant markets Justice Department focused on. So, therefore, the claimed efficiencies were largely out of market. At the same time, the court accepted DOJ's argument it should not credit other airlines' entry into the route-specific markets that would involve abandoning existing markets or markets where they would have otherwise entered or grown but for the merger. The court concluded that such entry cannot offset anti-competitive effects of the merger because it would create new harms to competition. Okay. So in addition, the court discounted the proposed divestiture buyer's testimony that they could readily shift assets from unprofitable routes to the relevant markets, which suggested the divestiture could have worked to avoid harm. So the court was unpersuaded by entry arguments accepted in prior airline industry mergers, which we already mentioned, because entry into the relevant route-specific markets would reduce competition on other routes at issue in a transaction. So in sum, the court declined to look outside the relevant markets in weighing efficiencies, but did look outside the relevant markets in assessing entry. And this is just one district court opinion, of course, and it's unclear whether most courts would adopt the same analysis. But it is fairly well established that courts will not credit efficiencies arising outside a relevant market that the government is challenging. However, there appear to have been no prior decisions where the court considered out-of-market harms caused by repositioning from competitors. So prior decisions have generally focused on whether entry or repositioning by competitors into the alleged relevant market would rebut the alleged harms in that market, not on whether the entry or repositioning would cause harm in another market. So was the court's holding good for competition? So this may seem very technical, efficiencies here or harm there that are counted or not counted. But big picture, what's going to happen? Flash forward to November 18, 2024, when Spirit Airlines filed for bankruptcy protection, citing mounting losses, unaffordable debt, increased competition for bargain-seeking airline passengers. It said the inability to merge had left it little choice. Now, three of the big four airlines, American, United, and Delta, in the past, many years ago, filed for bankruptcy and emerged stronger. But those competitors had numerous hubs and a major nationwide, indeed international, presence. It's far from clear that Spirit, a struggling budget airline based on a low-fare model, will have similar success. It has already announced the sale of 23 of its Airbus jets, delayed future aircraft deliveries, and furloughed hundreds of pilots. If Spirit is forced to scale back its schedule or cities it serves, goes out of business or gets purchased by another larger airline, by the way, it would be even worse if one of the big oligopolists purchased it, the pressure to offer lower prices will be reduced and many air travelers may suffer as a result. So again, we'll have to see what happens, but I think the big four airlines who have been criticized for not competing as vigorously as they should on price may be breathing a sigh of relief. So what are the key takeaways from this case? This case clearly illustrates the current FTC and DOJ's views toward out-of-market efficiencies and out-of-market harms under the 2023 merger guidelines. And this shift in policy last year, and actually in recent years, was especially likely to affect firms that operate across multiple local and regional markets. In short, the 2023 merger guidelines' heightened focus on out-of-market harms makes it harder for merging parties to rely on entry and efficiency defenses to support their transactions, while at the same time disfavoring divestitures that would preserve significant efficiencies. Now, companies hoping to highlight the pro-competitive benefits of transactions need to consider whether they can plausibly frame those benefits as arising within the relevant markets. The agencies typically look to define the narrowest possible relevant markets and may even be incentivized to allege very narrow markets to exclude the parties' claimed efficiencies. And that leads to a criticism, of, as has sometimes been made, about merger enforcement. You've got these very tiny markets. And the old joke that, you know, a good prosecutor could even indict before a grand jury a ham sandwich. Well, you know, the argument is that a good enforcer can come up with very, very narrow markets where it's going to find harm, but that often ignores the bigger picture. Firms should bear in mind that if their transaction is challenged in court, they will need to frame any efficiency argument in such a way that the claimed efficiencies fall within relevant markets. And at the same time, they must be prepared to address ancillary out-of-market harms arising from in-market efficiencies. Again, that's under the 2023 guidelines. And so in sum, once again, the 2023 guidelines are set up to allow the agencies to take a broad approach to discredit efficiencies that reflect out-of-market effects. So what can the new administration do? Well, it could, what are the implications? Well, in particular, it may want to rewrite or revise part or all of the guidelines. It may want to seriously consider revising the discussion of efficiencies to reinstate the more pro-efficiency 2020 guidelines approach. It may even want to go beyond that by showing a greater willingness to weigh out-of-market efficiencies when the benefits they provide to consumers clearly outweigh consumer losses within the relevant market. Specific language might, for example, provide that in such a case, the agencies would not pursue a merger challenge. Finally, revised guidelines might state that efficiency claims will be accorded as much weight as series of competitive harm based always on hard facts. So in essence, such a position would be in line with a recommendation by former FTC Commissioner Christine Wilson. It could encourage more efficiency-driven deals to be considered, thereby raising consumer welfare. And certainly in my view, and in the view of Wilson and some other people, it would mean that the undercounting of efficiencies, even under the old guidelines or underestimation, is a bad thing. Because after all, as I already suggested, the Supreme Court has always said consumer welfare is a key a guidepost of antitrust. And indeed, Adam Smith, the sort of the father of modern economics and the Wealth of Nations way back in 1776 said actions by producers are a value, basic social value, to the extent they benefit the consumers. So I think consumer welfare should always be on our mind, and the agencies, the antitrust agencies, can do a better job of taking account a broader understanding of efficiencies if they want to truly promote consumer welfare. And I hope you found this of some interest, and I thank you for your time.
Yeah, Alden, thank you so much for sharing not only this particular denied merger between JetBlue and Spirit Airlines, but also like the background of prior merger guidelines and what our audience should look forward to as there are discussions about who's going to be on the FTC, but also what future actions they may in fact take. And also people keeping an eye on what happens with Spirit Airlines as they go through restructuring and, as you indicated, the selling off of planes. So lots to think about there. So thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise with our audience. And for those of you who are listening, thank you so much. Please check out more content like this at regproject.org. That's regproject.org, where you have the opportunity to listen to experts share their analysis and information. We really appreciate you all. So thank you very much.
Federal Society's Regulatory Transparency Project, thanks for tuning in to the Fourth Branch Podcast. To catch every new episode when it's released, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spreaker. For the latest from RTP, please visit our website at regproject.org. That's regproject.org.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.